team, one station, 710 ESPN.
KSPN, Los Angeles.
Your Lakers station.
Well, that wasn't how we wanted it to go last night, was it? Mission number 17, and that countdown to the championship, still one win away.
LeBron moves on Crowder, drives to the rim, powers it up. Good and a foul! LeBron powers to the basket and scores!
Lakers dropped game 5 of the NBA Finals last night to the Heat. That means we've got to get ready for the positive side. Game 6. Tomorrow, tip off at 4:30 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN. We'll have all your play-by-play coverage. And yes, pregame will begin at 3 o'clock after the Rams postgame show with the one, the only, Playoff Sliwa. Because you've heard of Playoff Rondo, now there's Playoff Sliwa. The man never stops working. He just got done with the Lakers postgame show, a heartbreaking one last night at, 11 o'clock? And he's back right now for a little live and local Saturday Lakers talk. Let's do it. He's going to take your calls, your reaction, and he's going to look at the positive side. It's Saturday. Let's be positive. We're going to win tomorrow, get that championship for Kobe and Gigi. Lakers talk Saturday. Here he is, Playoff Sliwa.
Only Chris Morales can make it happen like that. Laker fans, good morning. I don't get a chance to say good morning too often. Hope you guys are enjoying your Saturday morning. I know it's a tough loss for a lot of Laker fans out there. Honor, as always, to be on the mic and get a chance to talk Los Angeles Lakers basketball. And that's exactly what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do this morning. So this is the plan. I want everybody to know who's driving around. Yes, we don't typically have a Lakers talk in the morning on a weekend. Very simple how this show is going to work. I'll go till 11 a.m. tonight. You see, I'm still throwing tonight out there. I'll go till 11 a.m. this morning. And really the idea and the concept of this morning show is I want to take a ton of calls from Laker fans. I certainly have my opinion after we sit here. The Lakers, about 12 hours ago, lost what could have been championship number 17. And certainly an incredible opportunity for the Lakers. But this is the cushion that they built themselves. They're up 3-1. You lose last night. Okay, well, it's still 3-2. So you got an opportunity on Sunday to still accomplish all those goals that you set off from the start of the season. And certainly, once you got to the NBA Finals and you knew it was the Miami Heat, everyone expecting the Los Angeles Lakers to figure out a way to get championship number 17. So this is, I guess you can say, from a topics perspective, I want to give out my overall thoughts on last night's game and just the series in general. By the way, if you want to be a part of this special Lakers talk on Saturday morning, we'll go to 11 a.m., 877-710-ESPN. I got a ton of tweets that I'm going to be reading throughout the show. You could hit me at Alan Sliwa. People already given their thoughts on the series, last night's game, what to expect in Game 6. And, of course, you could do so on the phone as well. So let me say this, my overall thoughts. Look, I know we've been, and I'm to blame on this as much as anybody else. I was doing the pregame show with Michael yesterday, and maybe I'm falling into this trap of, oh, well, this series is over. No. This is, Lakers are going to win their championship. How is a team going to celebrate? Championship number 17. Okay, great. You know what? We'll just get past Miami, no problem. How about going back-to-back next year? Who's going to be finals MVP? I mean, I'm falling into this trap as well. But here's the reality, and here's the bottom line. You get this far, it's not supposed to be easy. And, you know, if there's one thing that the Miami Heat have shown on a night-in, night-out basis, they're fighting. You know, if they say that half the battle is the mental part of things, Miami is incredibly mentally prepared for a matchup against the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA Finals. This has been a close series. Yes, I know the Lakers blew them out in Game 1, but Game 2 was a close game. Game 3 was right there. Game 4 was a close game. And Game 5 was a close matchup. So when I look at this series, if the Lakers would have won last night, and let's say they went up 4-1 and that's it, the series was over, Lakers win an NBA championship, 4-1 probably does not represent how much of a battle this series has been between these two teams, between Jimmy Butler and LeBron James, who have been the two best players on the floor. So to be sitting 3-2, 5 games in, and another game coming up tomorrow against the Miami Heat to see if this game goes, if this series goes 7 or the Lakers wrap it up, it's probably right. It's probably fit to look at, you know, what the Lakers have done so far and what the Heat have done so far. Give the Heat credit. Give the Heat credit for coming in 2 games where they've won, played damn near perfect basketball just to win 2 games. And I don't think that's a stretch at all. I don't think that's a stretch. The 2 wins that the Miami Heat have in this series, they had to play perfect basketball, and the Lakers had to make a ton of mistakes. They had to have contributions completely go away from the role players. I talked about in Game 4. You know, it's funny, these games all just start kind of mixing together. But I thought last night when I was doing the post-game show, Game 5 was a complete opposite of Game 4. And if you look at Game 3, where the Lakers lost to the Miami Heat, there were so many similarities of how the Heat got that win. So my overall thoughts, I'll say this. Yes, the Lakers got to be better. No question about it. This series may very well come down to the Lakers' role players. Championship number 17 may very well, as simple as this sounds, I know most people are going to be out there saying, Alan, no, it's not going to come down to Danny Green, and it's not going to come down to KCP and Alex Caruso and Rajon Rondo. No, it may very well come down to the Lakers' role players. Because if you get one more game out of these next two with good, solid production from your role players, Lakers are not losing the next 2 games. The only way the Lakers lose the next 2 games is if what happened last night is similar for the next 2 games, where nobody else is efficient other than LeBron James and Anthony Davis, where nobody else is hitting that critical big-time shot that changes the game and changes the series. That's the only way that the Miami Heat get the next 2 games over the Los Angeles Lakers. And I'm not saying that it can't happen. I mean, I think right now, if you're watching this series or you're listening on 710 ESPN or you're listening right now, if you're driving around thinking this series is over, I would disagree with you. I would say the Lakers are in for a dogfight. Now, there's a big difference between Lakers being in a dogfight and if I think the Los Angeles Lakers are going to win this series. 877-710-ESPN, I'll ask Laker fans. How concerned are you about this championship? Can the Lakers actually lose this series against the Miami Heat? I would have never thought it, to be honest with you. You know, when we started this series, I've had my chest out for the past couple of weeks, and I think most Laker fans have. And when you start, you know, talking about this series, you say, okay, how really can Miami hurt you? How can they truly be effective? Not one game, not 2 games, but they got to beat the Lakers 4 times. Come on now. That's not going to happen. Then the Lakers went up 2-0, and now you had that cushion where every Laker fan felt good. Okay, you know what? Even if you drop a game, you got a little bit of a cushion. And then there was the critical Game 4. You're up 2-1 in the series. This is a swing game, right? If the Lakers take Game 4, you're up 3-1. Now you have that cushion again. You have a 2-game lead, and Miami came back yesterday and make it 3-2. Do I think the Lakers are going to lose this series? I don't. Genuinely, I don't feel that the Lakers are going to lose 3 games in a row to the Miami Heat. But can it happen? Of course it can. Of course it can. Yesterday in the pregame show, Michael and I were talking, and 36 teams have been up 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Do you know how many of those 36 teams? This is the 36th time. So let's say 35 series are already over. 35 teams have been up 3-1. 34 of those teams ended up winning the series. The only team that didn't finish off the series up 3-1, we all know, in the NBA Finals, was the Golden State Warriors. And Michael kept talking about how, you know, he thought he was joking around yesterday, talking to the PR, head of PR, public relations for the Golden State Warriors. When that was all going on, he's like, hey, well, so when's the parade? When's this going to happen? So, listen, no Laker fan out there should think this thing is over, and I'm sure no Lakers player should think this thing is over. And I would be lying to you if I didn't say last night, oh, I thought it was over. I really did. There was a point last night coming into the game. Okay, well, what's this going to be like, and what are we going to do in the post game, and blah, blah, blah. And I think every Laker fan got a taste of reality last night, and sometimes that happens in sports. I mean, we've had such an incredible season. And when you get this close to a NBA championship, all you could think of is, okay, well, this one's over. They're wearing the Black Mamba jerseys. You felt like everything was set up last night to go finish this thing off. And then LeBron James' absolutely ridiculous performance that he was putting together. But LeBron didn't have help last night. AD's stat line was good, was really good, actually. I mean, I know there are plenty of times where we look at his impact, and I want to feel him more. But AD's stat line was incredible on both sides of the floor. But the role players for the Lakers did not come through. The role players for the Miami Heat did come through. I want to do this when we come back. And this is, got to be honest, if you guys want me to be just completely honest. Nothing better. We got this screen in front of us that just shows, you know, the activity from all the people that want to be a part of the show. This is what makes sports talk radio for me the best part of sports talk radio, is when I can tease and I could tell Laker fans, let's talk Lakers basketball, be a part of the show. I could put a couple topics up, and then the phones just absolutely light up. So when we come back, this is what we'll do. We'll hear from Laker fans, 877-710-ESPN. I got some tweets that I want to read, and the topic is very simple. How concerned are you about championship number 17? Do you think the Lakers are fine, or do you think there is a serious threat that the Lakers could potentially lose this series? We'll do that coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. This is a special Lakers talk on Saturday morning right here on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I appreciate you guys tuning in, however you're tuned in, on 710 ESPN, on the app, on iTunes. Go till 11 a.m. Look, I'll play off something Chris Morales just said right there. Okay, if you're going to go finish it off tomorrow, go finish it off. Go earn that NBA championship. Go do what you're supposed to do. You're the favorites for a reason. You got the two best players, some would say, in the world on the same team. Jimmy Butler, by the way, is making an argument that he's in that conversation. He really is. I mean, if you look at what he's doing in the finals against the Los Angeles Lakers, I can make an argument right now and sit here that he's having as good, if not better, than an NBA Finals than LeBron James. That's how good Jimmy Butler has been for the Miami Heat. But all that, just put it to the side. It all becomes irrelevant. Tomorrow, all you need is one game to get championship number 17. Okay, you know what? It didn't happen in a picture-perfect way. It didn't happen in Game 5 the way we all thought it was supposed to happen. It didn't happen the way it was scripted and it was set up to happen. Miami messed with that. Who cares? You got another opportunity tomorrow, starting at 4:30, to right your wrongs, to figure out the mistakes that you made, to try and slow down Jimmy Butler, to get your role players back into a rhythm. And then you could go get championship number 17. Let me read off a couple tweets here, and then we'll go to the phones. James Jarvis says on Twitter, we need to have a solid plan in Game 6 to take that ball out of Jimmy's hands. Yeah, Lakers have had no answer for Jimmy Butler. They've had no answer for Jimmy Butler, but let me tell you, in the two wins that Miami has in the finals, He's averaging 37.5 points, 12 assists, 11.5 rebounds, and 3.5 steals in the two wins Miami have in this series. You guys hear those stats I just put out there? 37.5, 12, 11.5, and then 3.5 steals on top of it. Yeah, Jimmy Butler's been most definitely been a problem. You know, and it almost kind of, that almost infuriates me even more because the Lakers defensively have been such a good team. And to have one guy just kind of slice and dice you, that one's a frustrating one for me. One more tweet here I'll read. M3LONA. I don't understand any of these Twitter handles. We missed an open game winner. No other way to cut it. Sorry. If you think that game just came down to Danny Green missing a three at the end, my man, you got to watch more of the game. The Lakers could have been a lot better in many different categories. All right, let's go to the calls. Corey in Irvine. Corey, I appreciate you calling into Lakers Talk. You're on the air, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, look, big Laker fan. We're going to close this out on Sunday. I had Lakers in six. The last play of that game, very disappointing. Mm-hmm. I understand LeBron 1-on-3. You don't want him to attack that with three defenders. But when Green gets the ball, he has about 18 seconds left on the clock. He has a runway in front of him. And you're supposed to play the percentages. And for him not to drive to attack the basket, you're down by one. You're not down by two. You're not down by three. You don't need a three-pointer.
Sure, sure.
This is what's the problem with the NBA right now. Everything is, let's launch a 35-footer with 17 seconds down by one. Go for the high-percentage shot. Draw the foul. Draw the double team. Kick it to LeBron. Let him to attack. That's what Butler was doing every single time. Mid-range jump. Mid-range jump, attack the basket. He wasn't settling for threes. So Green was struggling. He's been struggling all series. That's not the shot you want at the end.
And I'll tell you this, and Corey, I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to get to some other calls here. But if you're the Miami Heat, you know what your goal was on that last possession? And, guys, I want to say that I don't think the Lakers, I don't think the game came down to the last possession. I really don't. I don't think Danny Green missing that shot is why the Lakers lost this game. They had chances to get defensive stops. All the Lakers needed to do was get one freaking stop on defense, and they were going to take control of the game, and they were going to eventually win the series and win championship number 17. I don't think it came down to that one play, but if we're just talking about that one play, you're the Miami Heat. Of course you throw three guys at LeBron James, and LeBron did make the right pass. But if you're Danny Green, and this is my frustration with Danny Green to this point, and I believe it or not, I still got faith he can come through in Game 6 and hit a big shot for the Los Angeles Lakers, and maybe I'll fall flat on my face, be doing the postgame show tomorrow, and that didn't happen. But when I say I got faith, it's because I've seen it before. He's done it with the Spurs when he won a championship there. He did it in Toronto where he won a championship with the Raptors last season. So I've watched, and you have seen him come through in clutch situations. But with all that in mind, that's the right play if you're the Miami Heat. Make Danny Green shoot a contested three and just kind of play the averages. The averages would tell you Danny Green probably more chances than not he's not going to hit that shot right now because he has not been hitting it on a consistent basis all series. Brian in Inglewood. Brian, appreciate you calling in. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
Thanks for having me. I'm not going to talk about the Super
Bowl. How are you feeling right now, Brian? How are you feeling this morning?
I'm pissed.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I am pissed.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I'm not going to talk about the superstars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about the Byron Scotts, the Steve Kerrs, mm-hmm. the Michael Coopers.
Mm-hmm.
Excellence of execution. You want the prize. You want the money. But you got to do it when it counts. And you're right. Defensively, they should have done a whole lot better, especially against the likes of Tyler Hero and Crowder. But Marquise Morris, Danny Green, better decision-making. Take the shot. The play was perfect. But, yeah, I agree, defensively, but the excellence of execution.
Well, Brian,
thing in my career. That's okay, go ahead.
I'm going to play to something that you just said, and I appreciate you calling in, all right? I'll play to what you just mentioned. So you talked about role players. Guys, remember how clutch guys like Brian Shaw were for the Los Angeles Lakers?
Rick Fox when you needed that big stop or that defensive possession. Robert Horry and Derek Fisher, I don't even need to talk about. I mean, that's a different level of clutch, and you don't even need that clutch. But that literally is a different level. Sasha hitting those couple free throws. AC Greens, the Michael Thompsons, the Byron Scotts, the Kurt Rambises. This is how you win championships. I know everybody's going to say, Al, no, that's not how you win championships. Your stars got to come through. Your stars are coming through. It's not like Anthony Davis and LeBron James aren't coming through every single night. Let me point out a stat for Laker fans that are out there, okay? We had one player scoring double figures after LeBron and Anthony Davis. That one player was KCP. But it's not like KCP shot 6 of 10. KCP shot 6 of 15, 3 of 8 from the three-point line. So he wasn't even shooting at an efficient clip. Why do I point that out? Because Miami had six guys in double figures. Okay, take Jimmy Butler out. Miami had five guys in double figures after Jimmy Butler. Five guys in double figures. How the hell Duncan Robinson got 26 points, 8 of 15 from the field, and got seven threes when all the guy does is shoot threes and we couldn't defend that is beyond me. But why I point that out, Jimmy Butler's role players came through in Game 5. The Lakers' role players did not come through in Game 5. I can simplify the game to that extent, and the conversation could be over. I could say, okay, that's it. Lakers talk is done. I say that because you will live and die by the production of your role players. Stars come through. Superstars come through in situations like this. AD's been coming through. Maybe he's not as efficient as you want him. Maybe efficient's not the right word. Maybe he's not playing exactly how you want to on the offensive side, but he's still putting up the numbers, and he's still ridiculous on the defensive side statistically. LeBron, I don't have to talk about. LeBron is, you know, his stats on a night-in, night-out basis. Game 6, if Alex Caruso, Rajon Rondo, Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Danny Green all just have decent games. I'm not telling you they got to shoot 60% from the field. Just have decent games. Championship number 17 is going up at Staples Center. There's no other way to put it. If those role players just do what they're supposed to do and nothing else, just have average games, championship number 17 will be at Staples Center. But they got to come through. And Miami's players came through yesterday. Lakers role players just didn't come through. James in North Hills. James, appreciate you calling in. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, man.
I don't even know what to say right now because what you just said 10 seconds ago is what I was about to say. The Lakers role players, they have to just play the games that they normally play. I thought defensively down the stretch we were bad.
We were. Absolutely, we were.
Stop. Mm-hmm. We could not get a stop. I'm not going to put, you know, all this on Danny Green in the last shot or Markieff Morris on that pass because there were a lot of things prior to that that could have saved us, and we wouldn't have gotten into that situation at the end of the game. So just to cut it real short, since you said everything for me, role players just got to show up. They show up. Lakers get that title tomorrow. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Appreciate it, James. Thank you, man. Have a good morning. Simple as that. I really, truly believe that. Think about the players that I just named off, all those role players that I named off. You guys heard me after Game 4. You guys remember after Game 4 where I was touting about KCP and Danny Green shot 50% from the field. They combined for 25 points. And then I talked about 27 points coming off the Lakers bench. You don't have to have great games from your role players, but you can't have bad games from your role players. Those role players come through tomorrow. I'm telling you, we're going to be talking about the Lakers winning championship number 17. All right, more of your phone calls coming up next. If you want to hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, 877-710-ESPN is the phone number. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. We'll go till 11 a.m. Brad Turner from the LA Times, who's down inside the Orlando bubble, one of my favorite guys to talk Lakers basketball with, he'll come on at 10 a.m. So we'll get his thoughts and preview the game and everything else. I'll probably spend a lot of time actually talking about that matchup, LeBron James and Jimmy Butler, in what's been an absolute duel. You know, I always thought Jimmy Butler was good. And it's so tough sometimes as a fan. It's like you're trying to swallow your own pride. But every time I see a player perform like that, let me give Jimmy Butler as an example. Jimmy Butler has been great this entire series. He's almost a walking triple-double right now. And on top of that, 2.5 steals a game is what he's done in all five of these games. So he's playing good defense. At least the effort is there. And then he's doing everything for the Miami Heat. In times where I should just say, man, Jimmy Butler's having an incredible series, I find myself saying, Lakers, freaking D him up. Okay, take something away from his game. All right, if he's going to go out there and he's going to put up 30-plus points a game, can you make sure he doesn't have double-digit assists? Can you make sure that you're at least boxing him out on the glass? I mean, find ways to just make his life a little bit more difficult. My frustration with Jimmy Butler has been this for the Lakers. It almost seems like it's too easy. I mean, he's too efficient from the field. So it's not like he's taken 25 shots to get 35 or 40 points. It's you're not taking one thing away from him. He's doing literally anything he wants. And that's not to say, well, the Lakers got to be, there's got to be more effort on defense or this or that. Lakers are a good defensive team. We are not the Houston Rockets. We're a team that's actually, you know, I said this last night in the postgame show, and I really meant it and I felt it. Championships, defense wins championships. Biggest cliche you're probably going to hear. You're probably driving around right now and saying, oh, thanks, Alan. Thank you for the heads up. The defense wins championships. Never heard that one before. But Lakers were literally a defensive stop or two away from winning an NBA championship. And one of the things I think Jimmy Butler has done better than any Laker so far this series, he's putting pressure on the refs. You're going to blow your whistle or you're not. But I'm going to put pressure on you in big-time moments and situations that I'm going to drive the ball to the basket. I'm going to make sure I draw some type of contact, and then it's up to the referee. You know what the referees have done so far in each one of these games, certainly in the two games that Miami's won? They've blown the damn whistle, and they've put Jimmy Butler at the line, and he went 12 for 12 last night from the line. In game 3 when they won, he went 12 of 14. So Jimmy Butler's finding ways in critical moments to have back-breaking moments for the Lakers. I should give him more credit, but I always look at this Lakers team, and you know, I the first thing that comes to my mind is, AD, play better defense. Okay, box him out a little bit better. He had some offensive rebounds yesterday that killed the Lakers. Make his life at least a little bit more difficult. All right, let's do Wiley in Newport. Wiley, I appreciate you calling in, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. You know, I have to say all of a sudden it's looking like a 7-game series. I still think we're going to come out victorious. However, I don't know if this next game, the momentum is in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
Looks a lot like Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat are really going to play for us in game 6.
Wiley, sorry, buddy. I think we're losing you there. But let me just kind of get on top of this. So you said you think it's going to be a 7-game series. I mean, I guess at this point, I wouldn't be – no, I think I would be shocked if Lakers lost tomorrow. I'd be very surprised that, you know, the adjustments that the Lakers are going to make from game 5 to game 6. I guess you can say every team that loses a game
comes out the following game with a little bit different of a perspective, maybe a chip on their shoulder. Man, we let one get away. Or now that you're kind of looking at the predicament in this series, if it let's say hypothetically, if Lakers lost tomorrow, now all of a sudden it's a one-game series. That's it. You know, it's winner take all. It's a March Madness tournament. It's anybody's game in Game 7. Anybody could win it. So I would be surprised if Lakers did lose tomorrow. Before the series started, I thought Lakers in 6. But I also thought Bam Adebayo was going to play every game. Goran Dragic was going to play every game. So, you know, those injuries certainly kind of threw off the series a little bit. So then I thought, okay, well, it's not going to be Lakers in 6. It probably should be in 5. It probably should be a little bit earlier based upon some of those injuries. And I'll go back to this. This is what it comes down to for the Lakers. Nothing's handed to you. You know, you guys remember back in the days when Shaq and Kobe were winning those championships. If you got to the NBA Finals, whether it was Philadelphia, Indiana, New Jersey, once you got to the Finals, it was over. It was kind of a cakewalk from there. Well, that's not the case here with the Miami Heat. Even though the Lakers got more talent, even though the Lakers are favored, even though the Lakers are expected to win this series, it is 100% not a team that believes they can't beat the Lakers. Miami thinks they could beat the Lakers. They could be delusional, but you can be delusional and believe in yourself that much that you can actually make it happen. So Miami thinks it can happen. I expect the Lakers tomorrow to be that team almost similar to Game 4. The chip was on their shoulder. They came out. They were the ones with the 5-7-point lead for most of the game. It was Miami trying to play back from a deficit rather than Lakers yesterday. I mean, was there ever a point where you thought Lakers have control of the game? No, not at all. It was Miami that had a 7-point lead, 8-point lead, 10-point lead, 11-point lead. It was the Lakers trying to come back the entire way. George in Carson. George, I appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Slee, how you doing?
Good, man. Good, good. Actually, just enjoying a cup of coffee and talking Lakers basketball.
Yeah, nothing better, right? Hey, I wish it was a win you were talking about.
I know.
Let me say, I noticed with the Lakers, a few things that get me. The last play with Green, that shot that he missed, he has to take that. That's what he does. I don't agree with him driving. So he just missed the shot, and yes, he's done this in the past. He's been clutch, so I expect that in Game 6. But my thing with the Lakers, I don't think they're valuing yesterday's game and other games that they've lost. I don't think they're valuing each possession. It's they're too sloppy with the ball, lack of communication on both offensive and defensive end. They need to communicate. I saw a few times where they bumped into each other, while playing. Notably, when Caruso and KCP bumped into each other, and Robinson got off that 3-point shot, and it happened throughout the game. But I think the reason the Lakers lost yesterday really was it had to do with AD's injury, and when he got hurt, his inability to move like he should be able to move Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
That really affected the game. I saw him not move as well as he usually does. So to me, the lack of communication, being sloppy with the ball on both ends, and his inability to stick hang with Butler really are what cost the Lakers game.
George, appreciate you calling in. Thank you, man. Let me say this about this. I think is a good example here. So typically when you watch, I'll use the Lakers as an example. When they're up 2-0, yeah, I do think there's a different mentality. When they're up 3-1, I do feel like there's a different mentality. You don't have that, my back's against the wall. I either, you know, fight here or it's over. And sometimes, you know, when you build yourself a cushion, it's not, you don't play with that desperation that maybe another team is playing with. Miami's played desperate, I feel like, for the most part this series. But the Lakers, look, they were up 3-1. They were up 2-0. Did they have that killer instinct, that killer mentality yesterday? pretty much saying, hey, guys, this is it. We are not extending this series one more game. This is a must win. No, I didn't feel like the Lakers had that. Here's the reality. That wasn't the predicament or the situation. So I think you can only kind of convince yourself so many times of this is a must win. You got to take care of it right now. I think it's a fair question here that you brought up on Anthony Davis, and I don't have the answer to it. But AD has not looked 100% healthy in these last couple of games, and that's obvious. We see him limping around all over the place. Now, if you just looked at his stats last night, 28 points, 12 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 block shots, shot 9 of 15 from the field, got to the free throw line 8 times, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. There are moments in that game, plenty of moments, where I didn't say Anthony Davis's name or I didn't, you know, pay attention to AD for long stretches. And I only say that because what matters most about Anthony Davis, how's he feeling for game 6, potentially game 7? That's it. Nothing else matters. Whatever's happened so far, it's become irrelevant. You learn from it. But AD's health, that's not a X's and O's thing. That's a legitimate, okay, well, how's AD feeling? I'm going to play something from yesterday, and this was Anthony Davis in the postgame show. Steve, am I good to play this real quick? All right, I got something here. This is Anthony Davis on what happened as far as his injury goes.
Iggy kind of just stepped on it, re-aggravated it, but I'll be fine on Sunday.
All right, he says he'll be fine on Sunday. Here's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel.
Yeah, he was just battling through, you know, the heel. He was struggling to move a little bit, but toughed it out. And, you know, we'll see how he feels tomorrow.
All right, and here's LeBron James talking about Anthony Davis hobbling during the game.
If he's on the floor, I know. He's a warrior, man. And, you know, just him being out there, you know, hobbled, you know, just brings a lot of more confidence to myself and our team. We know the nicks and bumps and bruises he's played throughout the whole season. And, you know, we got to pick it up for him and pick it up for any one of our brothers if they're, you know, lobbying or, you know, they're not at their full strength. And that's just the makeup of a brotherhood.
Well, this becomes a completely, completely different storyline if AD is – look, he's not going to be 100%, of course not, but how hobbled could Anthony Davis be? And I don't have the answer to that. And I don't think we're going to hear much from – I don't think there's going to be Zoom calls this morning or this afternoon. So I think that from a media perspective, we're not going to find out anything, at least get some more information until tomorrow when we hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. All right, more of your phone calls when we come back. We're going till 11 a.m. It's a special Lakers talk here on Saturday morning. Of course, we're looking back, and then we're also previewing Game 6 coming up. We'll take your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. Brad Turner coming up at 10 a.m. from the L.A. Times. He's in the Orlando bubble. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. So pregame show tomorrow, as Chris mentioned right there, 3 p.m. Tip-off at 4:30. If you ask me my gut instinct – how much trouble are the Lakers in here as Miami Heat takes game 5 and now all of a sudden, you know, they're a game away from tying up the series and forcing a game 7? My gut instinct, I can't find a way that the Lakers lose this series. I really don't. I mean, listen, if you look at Miami yesterday, and this has happened in the two games that they've won, they have to play damn near perfect basketball. And maybe it can happen for 2 more games. Maybe I'm the idiot. And by the end of Tuesday, I just don't see the Lakers losing 3 games in a row to the Miami Heat, nor do I see them even getting to a game 7. I could be wrong. But look, I'm looking at the Heat right now. They got 13 points from Bam Adebayo. They got 11 from Jay Crowder. They got 26 from Duncan Robinson. We made him look like he was David Robinson. I know they're 2 different positions, but that's the closest affiliation I can make with names. Tyler Hero with 12 and Kendrick Nunn with 14 points. They played 7 guys last night. 6 of them scored in double figures. Every one of those guys contributed. And oh, by the way, Jimmy Butler had one of the best finals performances that you can watch. Literally, it was historic in the sense where 35-plus points, a triple-double, and then 5-plus steals. I don't think that's ever happened in the finals before. So you have Jimmy Butler playing at an incredibly crazy level, all your role players coming through, every role player for the Lakers, for the most part, not coming through, and it's a one-possession game at the end. So if you ask me how much of a risk is potentially losing this NBA championship and not grabbing number 17, it's a risk. It can definitely happen. It wouldn't be the first time that a team loses two games in a row here, or three games in a row here, and all of a sudden lose the championship. It can definitely happen. I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't think the Lakers are going to play three consecutive games of bad basketball, and for three consecutive games, role players don't come through for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I better be right, because I'll tell you one thing, if we got this close to championship number 17 in the year 2020, and the Lakers are up 3-1 and find a way to, you know, obviously not close it out, that's going to be an incredibly, incredibly tough conversation for a lot of Laker fans out there. John in Redondo Beach. John, go ahead, bud.
Good. How you doing there?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you, John.
Okay, a couple quick things. First of all, LeBron is outstanding, as we all know, but it's going to be hard for him to repeat a performance when it comes down to shooting threes. He's great.
You're right about that. You're right.
Very excellent shooting those threes. So I don't know if that's going to happen again. But on the other end, even though Jimmy Butler is playing fantastic, the dude never misses a free throw. And even though they're mid-range jumpers, he's making everything clutch time. Can he continue to do that? One more thing. This happens so far in the playoffs every single game. When the Lakers don't come out and play their defense that they should play and they're accustomed to playing, and they don't start playing until the mid-fourth quarter, that's a problem.
It puts them at a big disadvantage.
That's what makes it a one or two possession game. When they come out, and it happened in every series, and then when they come out and decide to play defense midway through the fourth quarter, remember when they were down 18 against Denver and then they almost won? If they do that from the start, they're not going to be a one or two possession game. They'll be up, like you said, 5 to 7 to 10 points.
John, this has to happen tomorrow, and I appreciate you calling in, all right? I want to get to a few more calls before I get to Brad Turner from the LA Times. This is what has to happen tomorrow. Can we stop digging ourselves a hole, please? Can we stop at the end of the first quarter, we're behind by 6-8 points? Can that stop? And I'm not saying it happens every game, but doesn't it feel like it happens every game that we end up losing? Can the Lakers be the team that comes out tomorrow, and it's Miami trying to freaking figure out how to come back against the Los Angeles Lakers? It's the Miami Heat that are down 6 or 8 points at the end of the first quarter and are looking at the bench saying, guys, it's kind of a pressure situation right now. Can the Heat be in a position that by the time we're coming into the third quarter, or the Heat are walking into the locker room for halftime, that they're sitting back and saying, okay, we have a legitimate chance of this going into double digits if we don't figure things out and we don't pick it up? Make it tight on the Heat. Make it so that the Miami Heat are looking up at the scoreboard in the third quarter and are telling themselves, this is it. This is our last stretch here. And I felt like that was the Lakers yesterday the entire game. Yes, the Miami Heat, their backs were against the wall. Yes, that was it. This was, that was the Miami Heat season. But I can't tell you how much I cannot stand when it's the Lakers having to try and come back. Not that they're not capable of doing it, but, you come out lax maybe in the beginning, or you take a couple bad shots, or you get a couple bad turnovers. It could change the complexion of the game. Steve in L.A. Steve, go ahead, bud. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Alan, for taking my call. I respect your basketball knowledge.
Appreciate it.
There's only been two players in the bubble, Alan. I'm not talking about just this series, that have regressed, and Frank Vogel's figured it out. JaVale and Danny Green. I don't need to be an analytics nerd to know He has no business being on the floor at the end of the game when he's just a spot-up shooter. Kuz should be in there because you can dribble drive Caruso and KCP. Danny Green looks 44 in the bubble. He has no business being on the floor near the end of the game. I had zero confidence in him when he took that last shot, knowing we don't need a three-point shot. I still think we're going to win, but, you know, Frank figured it out with JaVale. Frank, less Danny Green, more Kuzma.
Steve, appreciate you calling in. You know, it's actually kind of funny because I was telling a coworker yesterday when Danny Green, when the second half started going, I think Danny Green hit a three, and I saw Danny Green and KCP in there together, and I thought to myself, no, I kind of like this. Like, this is close it out, guys. Two guys are going to run all over the floor. They're going to do whatever they can on the defensive side. You know, they're not. It's going to be a lack of effort, but they're, you know, KCP has already proved he's okay in these situations. And Danny Green has done it in his career. So I thought actually we're going to be all right. The one thing I hate that we do is when we take threes when we don't need a three and kind of, you know, I think sometimes fall into that trap. Well, I'm wide open or I think Miami, you know, one of their game plans, I talked about this coming into the series, they want the Lakers to take as many threes as possible. All right, let me get one more quick call in here and then we'll go to Brad Turner. Wes in Northridge. Wes, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, is this me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead,
okay.
Bud.
My name's Russ. That's okay. Hey, oh, okay. Yeah, I agree 100% with the last caller. Kyle Kuzma should have been in there. That Danny Green, I you know, he looks 55, not 44. But you kind of you mentioned KCP and his three-point shooting, and you said 3-for-8 is not that good. It's 38%. I think it's, and you would know better than me, when the Lakers shoot 34% or better, they don't lose or they lost one game all season?
Correct. By the way, you know, Michael always says in the pregame show, if Lakers could be around 38 to 40% from the three-point line, that's actually, that is a good percentage for them.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I wanted to say. If the bench would have shot, if the team would have shot 38%, it's we win by 15 points.
I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for calling in. KCP did end up 6 of 15 from the field in total. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk to Brad Turner, and then we'll take more of your phone calls a little bit later in the show. And I also want to get in. This is going to be one of the conversations that I'm having with Brad Turner. Who's having a better finals right now, Jimmy Butler or LeBron James? I actually think you can make a case for either one of these players. Appreciate you guys tuning in. It's a special Lakers talk on Saturday morning. We'll go till 11 a.m. And, of course, Lakers and the Miami Heat, game 6 tomorrow, pregame show at 3, and tip-off will be at 4:30. Got a Rams game in the morning as well. I mean, we are jam-packed these next couple of days, so thank you for tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.